Good morning, everyone. Well, the crime blotter details couldn't be more straightforward. A man pulled off a departing plane at John F. Kennedy Airport over the weekend, arrested.
After he was fingered in a lineup.
Arrested on charges he sexually assaulted a maid at a New York hotel. He was picked out of a lineup by that maid. But the 62-year-old man is Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the leader of the International Monetary Fund, a French economist who is considered a likely candidate to replace or challenge Nicolas Sarkozy in France's 2012 elections. So it has ripples throughout the U.S. and global economy. And here to talk about all of that is Liz Alderman, chief business correspondent for the International Herald Tribune, global edition of our partner, The New York Times. She joins us from Paris. Liz Alderman, good morning.
Good morning.
So a couple of things here. First of all, how dependent is the IMF, which we do understand has been seriously involved in dealing with the sovereign debt crisis over there in Europe, how dependent is the IMF on the fortunes or the reputation of one man, Dominique Strauss-Kahn?
Well, at the end of the day, even if Dominique Strauss-Kahn is no longer going to be there, and that looks like a highly likely scenario, you know, the IMF will be able to continue to run. That being said, Mr. Strauss-Kahn, under his leadership, he really did burnish the reputation of the IMF, which had been quite a bit in decline, especially after its involvement in previous crises such as in Argentina, et cetera, where harsh austerity programs led to a lot of criticism of the IMF. The European crisis is something that Mr. Strauss-Kahn was actually able to use to sort of rehabilitate the IMF's reputation, and it has been, you know, a very strong voice in this entire crisis as it's rolled forward. Mr. Strauss-Kahn himself was personally very involved in the bailouts of Greece, Ireland, and now Portugal. So his role as a power broker is going to be something that's going to be difficult to replicate.
And there's a meeting today in Brussels that I gather his presence would have been fairly important. What's going to happen there?
Yes, that is a meeting where ministers are gathering to talk about further details of the Portugal bailout and where the Greeks were going to be asking actually for more money than they've already gotten from their European partners. And again, Mr. Strauss-Kahn was seen as a very key voice in that debate. So the lack of his presence there is something that's certainly going to be felt.
We're speaking with Liz Alderman, the chief business correspondent for the International Herald Tribune, about Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who was the leader of the International Monetary Fund. And Liz, you said that it looks like he will no longer head up the IMF. And I assume you mean whether he is actually convicted or not. And there's politicians in his home country of France saying his political career is now over. Do you think that's true? Is he pretty much finished both at the IMF and in politics?
Well, certainly a lot of people here in France, where this news, as you can imagine, hit like an absolute bombshell, are nonetheless urging caution. They're urging people and voters to basically let, you know, the American justice system do its work, and they're urging people to remember that there's a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. That being said, there's certainly a lot of speculation here that even if the facts of the case wind up being significantly disputed, that certainly his political career here is, you know, highly damaged. In addition, if he does have to stay in the United States for judicial procedures, that would complicate his ability to come back here and campaign. But certainly in this country, one word that was used over and over again after the news emerged was that while Mr. Strauss-Kahn had brought a sense of pride to France for the way that he had successfully managed the IMF, he's disappointed a great many people here because now he's brought the country a sense of humiliation. Hmm. So that is something that is going to be difficult to overcome.
And that humiliation is probably more important in France politically than the pure morality issue here. Let's talk about a couple of things for a moment before we go. Number one, it sounds as though you're saying that the IMF, regardless of the judicial proceedings in the U.S., is going to move quickly to get beyond this, right?
Yes, I mean, they've already appointed John Lipsky, the number two, as sort of the interim director, and you can be sure that there are meetings going on right now that will determine sort of what the fund has to do in order to get the leadership in order as quickly as possible.
And so the markets will be reacting to that, and we'll get a sense of whether that is enough from the markets over the next couple of days. But looking at the political situation in France, I mean, there's a sort of a mixed standard, it seems to me, on these morality questions in France. President Mitterrand had you know, a very open affair, and the circumstances are different. So, you know, it's hard to evaluate Strauss-Kahn in the same way that we would evaluate, say, a Bill Clinton here in the United States. Help us to understand the context, and what does this do to the fortunes politically of Le Pen, the right-wing candidate?
Yeah, the issue of the differences in perspective on morality, particularly as voters look at politicians, is, you know, quite striking. There is a quite striking difference between the United States and in France. You know, you point out the excellent example of Mitterrand. You know, his mistress actually showed up at his wedding with their daughter. And a lot of politicians have mistresses. That's something that French people accept. It's not a problem to them as long as the politician is able to continue doing their job.
Although rape of a hotel maid is a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is where things have changed. It's people here will not tolerate that, and that's where the sense of embarrassment and humiliation comes in, particularly for a man who, for many years, it's been something of an open secret in France, his proximity toward women. But
he was called the great he's called the great seducer, right, Liz?
That's right. Among other things, but you know, it was never really something that was written about in the press because it never interfered with his ability to do his job. Nor was there ever sort of evidence that he had forced himself upon people. However, there are some stories sort of starting to emerge from various parts of the French press. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on.
Liz Alderman, does this bolster candidates on the right in France as we lead into this election?
Yeah. Yes, this entire situation has sort of thrown Mr. Strauss-Kahn's Socialist Party into disarray, and because he was seen as the person here who was the most likely candidate to be able to beat Mr. Sarkozy, President Sarkozy, there's a lot of talk that Marine Le Pen, the far-right candidate, this is something that certainly can do nothing but sort of help her out, and her candidacy is rising at a time when there's a lot of anti-immigration sentiment that's rising really across Europe. And giving rise to sort of a more conservative political forces. You know, at the end of the day, it's questionable as to whether she would actually win the presidency. I think that all the betting is that Mr. Sarkozy probably would wind up taking the presidency.
Although,
but it will certainly give a field to the conservative candidate.
Indeed. Well, social repercussions and political repercussions as well as financial ones. Liz Alderman, chief business correspondent for the International Herald Tribune, the global edition of our partner, the New York Times, on the fortunes of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, IMF director, arrested over the weekend.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.